we are here today by the grace of God. Today we're going to ordain this man, Keith Barnes. But first I would like to address this congregation. And in order to do so, if you'll forgive me for a moment, I need to put on my glasses. From Sunday school, the scripture read, "Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you as you carefully observe the outcome of their lives. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." This man with his beautiful family, working, praising God, everything he can to glorify our Savior. And for that, this time of season, I am so thankful to Mr. Keith Barnes. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the song, the word, that we may come together in your house. What a glorious day. Not because of just the weather, because of the walls that keep us warm, but because, Father, this is you. This is all about you. This is about us glorifying you, your Son, your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you so much for your gift. The gift that gives us eternal life. In your Son's sweet, holy, precious name, I pray. Amen.
Patience in my trials and
I'm just curious. All of you that are family specific, not Olive Springs folks at this point, but family and friends of this guy over here. You know, we're ordaining him. I guess that's why you showed up. Is that right? You know? Will you do something? I won't ask you to say, just wave your hand at us. If you're family, minister friends and whatever, let's welcome them, everybody, would you? Yeah. My brother, you draw a crowd. Where are all y'all every Sunday? Just come on back, you know? We have a good time. I am so glad you're here. We thank God for you. And all our guests, thank you for being here. You know, you could be somewhere else, but this is the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. It's the day. And the Bible tells us, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. So we are asked and required of God to be right here as we can throughout our life, unless, of course, we're sick or away or work or whatever takes us away. But you're here, and I thank God. Now let's do this. Olive Springs, you got a task on your hands. I want you to come meet this entire family right now. So somebody got to get out of your seats and move. But let's welcome everybody, especially Keith's family, to our worship service. Will you help me do that right now? Thank you for your welcome and for everybody. Let me tell you something about today. This past Tuesday evening, some of our deacons and ministers in the area got together for an ordaining council. And one of the things you do as part of an ordination service for a minister is you invite other ministers and friends, etc., or ordained, should we say, all ordained people to come and examine the guy whom we ordain, in this case, Keith. Nathan came with him, and my brother, thank you. I am so glad you were there, and I am so glad your father invited you as well. And here very soon, in the next year or two, as God continues to lead Austin, we're going to have the privilege of ordaining him. Austin was part of that council, but not including those two. I believe we had about 17 folks there together. I'm going to tell you what, folks, you're talking about being in heaven. I thought that was an incredible time, didn't you? You know, an incredible, incredible time as well. Brother Henry Lee is the vice chairman of our deacons. He is chairing that ordination council, and the ordination council has a recommendation for you this morning.
The ordination council, composed of 13 deacons and 4 ministers, met this past Tuesday evening at Olive Springs Baptist Church for the purpose of examination and to vote to ordain Mr. Keith Barnes to the gospel ministry. During this time, we examined him regarding his personal and spiritual qualifications to serve as an ordained minister of the gospel. After sufficient time, was allocated for this question and answer session, Roy Whiteley, who is the chairman of the Ordination Council, called for a vote that we ordain Keith Barnes on Sunday, November 30th, 2014, at Olive Springs Baptist Church. Upon unanimous vote of this council, I'm proud to present to you Mr. Keith Barnes for ordination as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Daniel's coming and sharing our scripture for the morning. And let me say, as part of that, the church, though that appears in the church records, the church does not vote on that ordination. That is done by the ordaining council. And that's why that's presented to you like it is, because that was a unanimous vote to ordain this man to the gospel ministry. And nothing makes me more happier and excited than to be able to do that, my brother.
Good morning, everyone. This week's weekly scripture is in Isaiah 52, verse 7, and I'll read it first, and then we can all read it together. And it reads, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald, who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Let's all read that together. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much for this day, Father God. We thank you so much that we can all come here this morning, Father God, and just witness just your will in this young man's life, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for Keith, Father God, and his obedience to serve you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for calling him out, Father God. And I just thank you for our church family here. Lord, I just pray that you will bless this service and that you will be honored and you will be glorified this day. It's in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to say thank you for all those that did come that from different churches I've served, and just friends, dear friends that I've known for years. Just so you know, my mom and my two nieces are here from Arkansas, and then my son and daughter are here from college, and of course my wife is here. But a couple of special people to let you know about this morning. My beautiful daughter is going to be singing the special music. So when she comes up and you don't know who she is, that's who that is. Beautiful redhead. But then Jimmy Berry has come, and he's agreed to preach the sermon this morning. I appreciate him being here. He, a few years ago, was the pastor at Milford when I was at Milford. And we first came there in 1998 as just members. And then from 2004, 2005, I was able to serve with him as a minister of music at Milford. So he's come, and he has a very special ministry. He might get a chance to tell us something about this morning. But he is a missionary to Africa, and he takes teams of mission of people that want to do a mission trip. He takes teams from the United States to his mission field in Africa and takes a lot of different teams. I'm just proud of what he means to the Lord's work there. I wanted to share a couple of things real quick before we go on with the service. But the next song is "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And that's just something I want us to all just to make that as a prayer this morning for God to work specially in our lives. It's not about me today. It's about all of us serving God and honoring Him. And, you know, I've thought for years about when we stand before God, and I've heard preachers preach about this too, but, you think about the things that you've done in your life that have been maybe against the will of God. And some of those things may not be bad, because the Bible says that when you know to do good and don't do that, then that can be sin as well. So even the things that we don't do that we should do, but also the things that we do that breaks God's heart. And I know through my life, I've done things that I had no business doing. I've done things that's broken God's heart. And this poem was written by Martha Snell Nicholson. And from looking back and seeing about her life, she was an invalid who pretty much for a lot of her life couldn't even get out. But she wrote some beautiful poetry. You can go online and see it if you care to. But I want to read this poem to you. that just kind of talks about what God wants us to do, but a lot of times we don't do. But talking about the things that we can do for God. It says, when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been had he had his way. And I see how I blocked him here, and I checked him there, and would not yield my will. Will there be grief in my Savior's eyes? Grief, though he loves me still? He would have me rich, and I stand here poor, stripped of all but his grace. While memory runs like a hunted thing down the past I cannot retrace. Then my desolate heart will nigh break with the tears that I cannot shed. I shall cover my face with my empty hands. I shall bow my uncovered head, my uncrowned head. Lord, this is my prayer today, and I hope it's your prayer as well. Lord, of the years that are left to me, I give them to thy hand. Take me, break me, and mold me to the pattern thou hast planned. Hope that's your prayer today. Stand with me if you would, and sing this song as a prayer to God.
Have thine own way.
Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this time you've allowed us to come and just join together, Father, as one body in your house to worship you. And not only to worship you, Father, but by ordaining this man, Keith, that you've called him in the ministry, God. And I pray that would glorify you, that through his ministry and later on he would be glorifying you, God, wherever you lead him. So I just thank you for this money that's going to be tithed and I pray that you would just bless it and multiply it, God, to this church and let us be able to continue our ministry here at Olive Springs and in Austell, Georgia. And so let everything we do glorify you, God, in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an end. can say, it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will
Keith, your kids have grown and gotten better looking. I don't know what happened to you. It's been a while, you know. You look about the same. No comments to Lisa, but just out. Talk to you. It's good to see you again and see some friends that are here in the congregation. It's been a long time since I've been here in Olive Springs. When I was at Milford, some of our seniors sometime would get with yours, and there were a couple of joint outings that I went on together with, I think, with
when both groups were together, and you had some Christmas pageantry here that we came up to, and then right before we left, I had the chance to work with some of your staff here just looking at community issues and the population and some of the changes that was going on. So that's been a few years back, but it's good to be back and see that it's here. And thank you for Keith inviting me to come and be a part of this. I'm glad I'm here, that I was in town and able to. Really came one reason today, and that is because Keith asked. We did have some years together, his family and mine, while we were at Milford together. And here's one thing I know. He was devoted to God, to his family, had integrity, and he was faithful in his service to God and his church. As a result, the hands of God have been upon him, upon his family. So, I mean, today, really just kind of celebrate what has been going on. Keith, you've done the work, and just simply being what we are all to be as people of God. And there's come a point when now the church has recognized that, and God's hands upon your life, and you're stepping out into this position of leadership. And, I don't really know how that all flushes out for you in the future. And I don't know that you fully know. I was ordained way back in 1976. It's a long time ago. I was a very young man. And I was one of the youngest, I guess I was the youngest pastor in the Calhoun County Baptist Association at that time. But I thought I knew my life. And that was, I was going to be a bivocational pastor. We called it then part-time, where simply I would be preaching, I'd be working. My dad was a licensed land surveyor. I enjoyed that work, and I had just gotten married and, dropped out of school, out of college. There's a big university near us at Jacksonville State. But I wanted to get married, wanted to go to work, wanted to preach, and I thought I knew my life. And then God changed things. 1980, left the profession of land surveying. Went into full-time ministry. That was never in my mind's eye. It wasn't anything that was I was going to do. That was for other people. I knew what God wanted me to do. And God changed my plan. Then in 1983, I did a very strange move, and that is I left my full-time ministry and went back to land surveying. But this time it was in Dallas, Texas, and I was getting ready to enroll in Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And that was never in my vision. That was never a goal of mine. In fact, I grew up in just very rural country Southern Baptist churches. And education, being trained for the ministry like that, was actually preached against. That really wasn't of God. God anointed you with your spirit, with His spirit, and you were to preach out of, just open up, let Him speak through you. You didn't need that education. It would probably ruin you because it would turn you into a liberal. I remember that as a very, very, very young man. And it shaped my mind. It took years for God to kind of weed his way through all of that to where I left the church where I was, had a good full-time ministry. Went back to land surveying so I could provide for my family while I went to school. And then, in 2004, God did another strange thing, and that is whenever I walked away from Milford and began doing the work that I'm doing now. That was never in my purview. I am an introvert. And I can be outgoing around people when I'm here, when I'm you know, I'm in the pulpit or whenever, you know, we greet and you come up, that kind of thing. But normally, when I walk into crowds, I don't speak. And I don't talk a lot because I am an introvert. Don't have to. And so it was never in my dream to leave my comfort zone, walk away from my church and my community, and begin working a whole other area. And God just changed it over years from 1998 through 2004. He changed that. Now, I've said that to say this. As we journey with God, we may have His call. We may understand what God's plan for our life is right now. But there is a way in which every day as we make decisions in our life, it opens up new doors of opportunities that we can walk through. Or we may make decisions that close doors of opportunity in other areas. And so for me even to stand here today at the age now of 60 and say to you, I understand what the next 10, 15, 20 years of my life will be like. I don't know. I know this. I remember when God called me in the ministry. I remember the stirring in my heart when He called me to then what I thought was just to preach the gospel. But I never thought I'd be doing what I am today and really employing the strategies that we employ and the work that we do in Uganda and some of the surrounding countries. Very different. Just saying, as you follow God and begin a journey with Him, when you begin to say yes to God and go through doors and you make decisions, they have ways to lead to places that you never thought you would be, doing things that you never thought you'd do and doing them with people that you never envisioned that you would be friends with or be working with. It's a journey. It's a journey. And I'm grateful for it. It's been full of surprises, and I'm looking forward to what the next several years hold. I do not know. But I know this. I know what God is, where He has led now and what He is doing, and it is a joy and it is a blessing. So, Keith, as you begin today, you know, your life, you're just going through another open door. You know, 10, 15 years from now, you may be doing the same thing here or somewhere else. And then again, God may have radically changed a lot of those things in your life. And you sit down someday and scratch your head and wonder, how did I get in this position when I started out here? But as you go through, you just walk through those open doors. And God has a way of moving things to bring about His will in your life that you never thought about. Now, church, I want to thank you for having the confidence in Him. And feeling the call of God to do what you've done. You know, when Keith called me and asked me to ordain, he said, it will be, you know, I'm leading music. But they're calling me, you know, they're ordaining me into the ministry. And, you know, I don't know fully what his responsibilities now will be here, beyond, in life, but I know this. Whenever there is a need, God has a way of finding people to step in those leadership positions. There is a passage very familiar found in Acts 6 that, you know, we in ordination services, we tend to pull this up quite frequently. And the Bible just says this, Acts 6, verses 3 through 5. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the preaching ministry. And the proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose. And then they give the list. Stephen, a man of faith and host of spirit. Philip, Proculus, Nicanor, and so it goes. In other words, they said there is a need. There was a problem that they were having. I mean, the ministry was growing. Many people were coming to the faith. The opportunities were rapidly increasing, and right in the middle of that, there became a problem, a little bit of tension, as some people thought they were being overlooked and were not being treated properly. And it was beginning to create a rift within the whole body of God's people, and it was taking away from the Word. And so the apostles just simply said, this ought not be. We've got to have people right here in our midst who are spiritual enough and have the Spirit of God upon their life that they can handle this job and take care of it so the problem's done away with. And so they looked among themselves. And they found people among them that had good reputations and that was full of the Spirit of God that they could give this opportunity to. And those guys stood up and took leadership. There'll always be need for leaders. There'll always be problems. There'll always be opportunities. There'll always be things that come up unexpectedly that have to be dealt with. And you know what? Right here among you, there ought to be people who are living their lives day by day by day in a way that God can use in those moments. Now, I mean, today we're ordaining Keith. But he's not becoming something today that he hasn't been before. I mean, everywhere I read in the Bible where Paul talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as you get this young preacher, where he says, now you need something. You need elders. You need deacons. And you find people that are living a kind of life that is worthy of that, and you place them over it. In other words, this isn't changing his life. He's been living that life, and you are recognizing that life and affirming that life, that God's hand has been upon him, and now he's just able to assume that position of leadership to be able to deal with the problem. And there always ought to be people among you. I mean, all of our lives ought to be lived that way, to where we are reputable, we're devoted to God, we're devoted to our family, we're living lives of integrity. We're authentic. When people look at us, they see who we are. There's no mask. There's no falsity there. So when there's a need, you can be chosen. Do you remember the story right after the resurrection of Jesus? That the disciples are all together in a room and there is a need for two people. Or there's a need for one because Judas had sinned. He had betrayed Christ. There wasn't 12 apostles. There were 11. And as they met and they prayed and they searched for the will and the mind of God, God put it on the heart and mind. You need to replace Judas. And so what did they do? They found among them people that had walked with Christ. They were worthy. They had the qualifications, and they put them out before the Lord and let the Lord choose in His own way as they cast lots among them with the people. You see, they didn't become something they had not been. It was just affirmed at that moment. And Keith has lived a life that has been devoted to God and his family and devoted to integrity and a life of just faithfully serving God. And so today, you have affirmed that. God's hands have been upon him, not just from this point forward, but from this point in the past. So that today, you can have the ordination. And you can lay hands and officially affirm, this is a man of God who is devoting his life to the ministry and the call that God's put in his life. Now, Keith, just a quick word too before we wrap up. Don't stop doing what you've been doing that's brought you to this place. You're to stay devoted to God. You're to stay devoted to your family. You've done a good job, you and Lisa, raising your children. It's good to see that. I mean, they were little when I saw them last. You guys have done a good job raising them. But there are years ahead, and one thing my wife and I have found that when you raise them, they really never leave. They just add more. And now we have grandkids. So the opportunity then to parent grandkids. So you keep doing what you're doing. You don't stop just because you're being ordained. It is like not saying I've arrived and quit. No, you keep doing what it is you're doing. That faithfulness to God, to your family, you're full of integrity. That is there. And then I want to close with challenging with this. There is a passage in Timothy. It's really become a favorite of mine. 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul just says to his young friend, one that he has mentored and trained, he says, "What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And I really want to encourage you that I know you have your positions, you have your calling of what God's called you to, but I think basic to every one of us is this. And I think we've walked away from it to some regard. We've left it by the wayside. And we perform our ministry, whether it be in church, in the pulpit, or leading a choir, or preaching a sermon. And I think we're suffering in the church today as a result of it. And that's simply, we've gotten away from what it means to really impacting and raising up. Jesus just said, go make disciples. He said, go make disciples. And you do that by getting into people's lives and imparting truths into their life, imparting your life into theirs. You can do some of that here from the pulpit. I mean, I preached from 1976 all the way up to 2004 when I entered into this ministry. But here's what I found. When you walk beside people and you pour your life into them, you can begin to raise up disciples. I want to encourage you because we have a real need in our country for younger men to begin to be raised up to take over leadership. When there is a need, like there was in Acts 6 or like there was in Acts 1, so that there are those who can do it. And it starts with people like you and people like me and your pastor of taking the opportunity of really putting into someone's life. And if you notice in his words to Paul, when he said to Timothy, he says, you find faithful ones. I mean, when they ordain you, they're not ordaining an unfaithful man. Whenever you want to ordain for the ministry, you don't find somebody unfaithful, uncommitted, undevoted to God. You find the one that's devoted, committed. They're faithful. And he said, now you, as you begin to disciple, you find somebody faithful. There'll be a lot of people you could talk to, but there'll be many of them, it's like pouring water off a duck's back. The ground is hard, and the birds take the seed away. But there are those that are fruitful soil that just need somebody to speak into their lives. And when you do that, it's amazing what God can do for them and how your ministry can multiply and it can grow and it can bound. So I just want to quickly just tell you from my heart, find somebody. Find other young men and recognize that putting into their life and challenging them to live godly lives, be devoted to Christ, devoted to their family, lives of integrity, that calling and that work in ministry is just as much in the call of God as standing up here leading a worship song. And it's amazing what God can do, the impact you can have after you're gone with those that you've raised up. I mean, your life speaks for itself, and that's why you're here today. I challenge you, continue that and invest that in other people's lives. Let me pray for you real quick. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity I've had to come today and be here. To be here with a friend, with Keith. To be able to celebrate this day with him. And Lord, I thank you that this man has remained faithful to you. I thank you for what you've done in his life. And Lord, I thank you for what you'll be able to do through his life and touching other people. I pray for his ministry here at this church. That Lord, he'll be able to lead them in songs of worship and praise that will draw them closer to you, but that also, Lord, he would walk before them in such a way that they would see the light of the glory of God just shining out of his life and they'd be drawn closer to you. That he would be unashamed just to open his life and say, here I am, look at me and do what I do. Let him follow you so close that if anyone sees his last and begins to imitate, then that, Lord, they are drawing closer to you. Help him be an example. Help him, Lord, to be one who would be able to raise up many others. Thank you, Lord, for the children that he and Lisa have raised. And I know they have put into their life. And I pray that these children would continue to follow the example set by their dad and their mom. But Lord, I pray that you'd give him other spiritual kids that he could begin to put into. So, Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being here, and I pray your blessings upon this man, upon his family. Let this always be a journey of joy, even though at times there will be problems and there will be pain and there will be some tears. Let it always, though, be a journey of joy as he knows in the depths of his heart that he is walking with you and that your presence is with him. You know the future. We don't. And where it leads for him and his family, let them always be ready to go through the doorway that you've opened. Made into a whole new world. Help them always say yes. For it's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen.
For what you shared, godly wisdom for all of us in this house. Amen. Godly wisdom for this guy. I remember when he came, Jim Wallace, who was doing our music at the time, Jim and I worked together for Smyrna. Jim had a friend of his and knew a guy by the name of Keith Barnes, because Jim was leaving. And so Keith came to my office, and Jim and I and Keith talked together. From that very first minute I met this guy, I saw something different in him. The church called him, brought him here. And then in the course of our conversations together, I watched him and I watched his family, and not only his friend, but as his pastor. God emplaced and just put on my heart in just an incredible way, Randy, you need to talk to this man about ordaining him. And so I did. And I ask Keith this question verbatim, have you ever thought about ordination? And his response was, yes, without a doubt. But what do I need to do? And that day we began this process that's culminated today. Jimmy said it right. God's been with you all the way back yonder. And he's with you today and he'll be with you in the future. And I thank God for you and Lisa. I thank God for your leadership in this church, for your godly lifestyle. Folks, I've watched this man, and I've watched what he's done behind the scenes that none of you in this building know that he does. But they're for the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to take time and stand up here and tell you all that today. It's just absolutely incredible. That's the type of man Keith Barnes is. That's the type of lady Lisa Barnes is. And it is obvious of their children that they have been trained just like the Word of God says. I was impressed, always have been, with Nathan. But with, I gave, you know, when you get an ordination council, and this time was very unique, his son was there. So I figured I'd put Nathan on the spot real quick. And I said, Nathan, is there a question you would like to ask your dad? You know, it's kind of like any question you ever wanted to ask, but afraid to ask. But look, you've got 16 men in here. We'll protect you. Whatever question you were going to ask. I'm not going to tell you what he asked, but I'm going to tell you the one of the most godly responses, my brother, I've ever heard. And I thank you for being there with your dad. What a tribute, Pop. What a tribute. You're very fortunate. So many of us were ordained younger when we were younger, and we did not have the honor and privilege to have our children. But thank God, guys, you did too. I remember when I was ordained right here in this sanctuary, and Jimmy, you're right, my friend, back in the 70s. Elmer Faust stood right here. And in part of that ordination sermon that he preached, he talked about an ordination covenant. And when he said that, that just clicked in my mind. And ever since then, as God has allowed me to ordain people in these last now almost 40 years, I've used what we call an ordination covenant. It's in your bulletin. Would you open that, if you will, please? It's on the right side of your bulletin. It's simply our words to Keith and Keith's, I know at this point, few words. I won't let him say a whole lot right now, but I want you to follow along. Keith, I want you and Lisa just to stand up right where you are. I won't make you to come up here. You've done the entire service, you guys, and then in a minute I'm going to involve his entire family as well. Got some questions for Keith, and all he'll need to do is respond. And then a final question I'm going to ask you to respond. And then Brother Louis Winstead, after we finish this covenant, Louis is going to come up and lead our ordination prayer. So listen to these words. Keith, do you believe that you are truly called by God to serve Him as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul the Apostle testified, said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Will you then endeavor to be diligent in your practice of the Christian life by personal Bible study, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and taking up your cross daily and following Christ? In Scripture, ministers are exhorted to tend the flock of God and committed to their care. And will you endeavor to care for the people of God you are called to serve by nourishing and teaching and encouraging them, giving them biblical counsel as needed, and declaring God's forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross? And Paul also wrote these words, "For me to live is Christ." Will you then endeavor to conduct yourself so that your life is shaped by Jesus Christ, who took the form of a servant for our sake? And will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, continually rekindle the gift of God that is in you to make known to all people the grace of God? And I've got a question that's not on here right now. I'm not putting anybody in the spot, but Lisa, as Keith's husband, will you, Keith's wife? That's all right. I introduced my cousin the other day. He's from Kennesaw or wherever it was, you know. Will you do this? Not only pray as you have been and will continue to do for your husband, support him as you have been, but will you continue your faithful support of your husband as a minister of the gospel of Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the promises of Keith and Lisa Barnes. And will you, as members of Olive Springs, accept both of them, but especially right now, Keith, as the ordained minister of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? And if so, will you do so by this entire congregation standing right now? You stand in honor of Keith in his ordination and in his prayer. Brother Louis, would you come and offer our ordination prayer, my friend?
Accept our thanks, God, for Keith Barnes and his family. We're grateful for his life and that he has touched our lives and the lives of many people here today in a very positive way. And so in this Thanksgiving season, thank you for Keith. We thank you also for his family. We thank you for Lisa, Katie, and Nathan. And we're grateful that Faith is alive and well in this family. And for the commitment this family has made, not only today, but through the years, we're grateful for that kind of commitment. And we're thankful for the call that comes to us for what we used to call ministry or special service. It humbles us to think that you would choose us to serve you. And thank you for calling Keith to this service and to this ministry. And thankful for his positive response. For the gratitude he feels that among all the people of the world, you've called him to serve you in a special way. Thank you for giving him a place of service right now in this church. And we pray that as we set him aside today for special ministry, that he would feel a sense of new commitment and a sense of empowerment. Not that we're on a power trip, but we want the kind of power in our lives that says to us, as the Apostle Paul said, in Jesus Christ and with his strength, I can do anything. And so empowering. And give him those gifts in addition to the gifts he already has that will enable him to be not just a good minister, but a great minister. Deepen his faith and his commitment and help him follow you and do your will all the days of his life. And we commit him to you for your leadership and guidance and service. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This past Tuesday when we met, we had our ordination council sign our ordination certificate, and it says the certificate of ordination to the gospel ministry. This is to certify that Keith Barnes was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by authority and order of the Olive Springs Baptist Church, 1528 Austell Road, Marietta, Georgia, 30008, on this 30th day of November 2014. It is signed by me. It is signed by Reverend Daniel Reyes in our church, who is our minister to youth and outreach. It is signed by the chairman of our deacons, Roy Watley, and it is signed by our church clerk, Mrs. Judy Brown. And my brother, I present to you this certificate, and I'm glad to be able to call you Reverend Keith Barnes now. Amen? Would you join me? Thank you, brother. Just a few things before we leave. First of all, as you leave, Keith and the family, didn't you? I mean, wow, Katie. Incredible. Thank you. Incredible job. You're right. She got a voice. Did you teach her that? Tell you. And Nathan, thank you, my brother, for being here. Thank you for Tuesday night. I'm telling you, your presence was ministry to me. You know? And that's incredible. Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for this time when we could come to your house of worship to share in this great ordination service. We ask a special prayer, Lord, that you would be with each of us as we go out the door. As Keith goes on to accept the calling that he has received from you, and that we may also in our hearts accept the calling that you've given to us to spread the name of Jesus Christ throughout this world. Be with us as we complete our activities for the day and throughout this week, and may we ever be mindful of the season that we're in, the reason for the season, Jesus Christ's birth. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask it in Christ's name we pray. Amen.